Before we get started with this week's episode, we'd like to remind you folks that the Air Raid podcast is available at many places, including iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Adore.fm, and ChiroRadio.com, and wherever else podcasts are available. Let's get started with the show. Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 312 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Yes, indeed, folks, we've got a great show for you this week. I'm very sorry that it's late. It's actually really, really late. Tuesday night, I am recording this. I've got a great reason for it being late. No, it is not. That reason does not involve senioritis when it comes to doing this show. It involves being at a wedding all weekend in the beautiful Whidbey Island area. And, man, it was fun. Possibly some of the best food that I have ever eaten at a wedding. At this one as well. So a big congratulations to Lila and John. I hope you guys have a happy, happy life together. I love you both. Great, great people. And have fun on your honeymoon in Thailand. Oh my God. Never been to Thailand. I'm sure a lot of you out there have. I have never been. My wife has been with Lila, by the way, her good friend. This is boring. So, all right. Let's get into it, shall we? We've got some emails to read from you, the listeners, and we're going to have a great chat with Tim. Tim, oh God, I forgot his last name. Tim Harrington of the band Tall Heights. Tall Heights is fantastic. This came up like they came onto my radar about a couple months ago. I think it was their album was sent to me via their publicist, and I absolutely fell in love with it. The album is called Neptune. It's out now on Sony Records, and I highly suggest you get a copy of it. I've got mine, and it's really, really great. It's very, I mean, it's kind of indie folk. What do you call this type of music? I don't know, indie folk, Americana, indie pop, maybe folk pop. Maybe that's it. Folk pop. I adore it. I adore this album. I haven't been listening to a whole lot of music like this in this genre lately. And this one just really, really blew me away. And Tim and Paul, it's a duo. They have a full band touring with them now. But these guys pretty much do it themselves. And it's just a really impressive story about how they kind of grinded away, man. Grinded away. Started by busking to pay to record their first record. And it's a wonderful story. And they've really gone to tall heights. Tall Heights has gone to tall heights now. And you can see them live on Conan September 26th, which is coming up, man. That's no small feat either. That's a tall height. That was a terrible, terrible joke. Oh my God. Big congratulations to Paul and Tim in Tall Heights. There you are. Fantastic dudes. I got to meet both of them, although we just talked to Tim in this episode. But yeah, they're going to be on Conan on September 26th, and you can catch that on TBS, the channel TBS, wherever that may be on your dial. Also, they've got a ton of other shows coming up. Let's see, the 21st, this week, they're going to be in Los Angeles, California at The Resident. On the 29th, they'll be in Burlington, Vermont at Higher Ground. And in there in between, they'll be on Conan on September 26th. On the 30th, of September. They'll be in Northampton, Massachusetts at Iron Horse Music Hall. And then into October, they will be in Washington, D.C., New York on the 6th. On the 12th, they'll be in Providence, Rhode Island, and the 15th in Exeter, New Hampshire, and on and on and on it goes, people. And they're also going to be going on a little European tour there in the middle of that. So, not in the middle of that, but at the end of that. Go to tallheights.com and check it out for yourself. And also, please do get a copy of Neptune because it is fantastic. All right. And we're going to be playing that throughout the episode this week. All right. We've got some great stuff planned for the upcoming. We've got what? Two or three shows left of Air Raid. And that's a special thing, man. And people have really been sending a lot of emails. And so I've been trying to, once again, trying to get back to each one. We picked out a couple choice ones for this here episode. And let's go ahead and get into that, shall we? Got a couple questions as well to answer. If you'd like to email me directly, you can reach me at aaron@air-raid.net. And like we've been saying, if you have any questions or comments about the show, man, anything at all, just email, shoot an email off. We got this one. It's entitled, the subject line was New Sad Listener. Oh, says, hey, Aaron, just found out about your show after seeing an article about Air Raid on the interwebs. I wonder what that was. If you're listening, this is from Joel. Joel, will you send me that, please? I don't know if I've seen that. If it's a recent article, I don't know if I've seen it. In the last couple of weeks, I have probably listened to 50 episodes with my brother while working on his new house. His name is Kyle, and he is now a fan as well. Awesome. Awesome. Hello, Kyle. I'm bummed to hear you're ending the show after I just discovered it, but I have a lot to still hear. So that's good, I guess. Of course it is, man. You got a lot of episodes to go. Anyway, both Kyle and me wanted to submit a question to you. How the hell did you get some of the guests on your show? We have always wanted to start a podcast, and we're really curious as to how you accomplished this. Thank you so much, Joel, from here in Seattle. Well, thank you, Joel, for sending the email. Let's see. Getting guests on this program. Let's see. Where to start? I'm sure that by some of your guests, or some of the guests, you're talking about some of the bigger names that we've had on Air Raid. Of course, there's been people like Bob Saget, Mike Birbiglia, Jim Brewer of SNL. Let's see, who else? Duff McKagan, founding member of Guns N' Roses. Let's see, Chris Walla, formerly of Death Cab for Cutie. Andrew W.K., Jurassic 5, Macklemore, right? Is that what we're talking about here? Are we talking about the big names here? Every guest that we've had on here, Mike McCready of Pearl Jam, every guest that we've had on the show has been awesome. Well, for the most part. There's been a couple stinkers. Let's see, how do I broach this subject? First of all, if you're going to start a podcast and you want to do something like what I'm doing, be ready to spend a lot of time emailing people and trying to prove that you are not a stalker or a murderer, and you're actually doing a real thing that has a real listener base. And creating, relationships with, publicists and managers and record labels, and stuff like that. And that's what I did. And it took me a really long time to forge some of those relationships with, PR people and record labels and stuff like that. And to the point where, you know, a lot of this stuff was sent to us. Some of the big names, like I just mentioned, took a really long time to line up too. Like, Mike McCready, for instance, with Pearl Jam, that was like a year long process to line that interview up. And I think, you know, some of that, you know, over the 6 years of like working on the show, that became more, you know, I got used to that, for lack of a better term. I got used to like spending a lot of time trying to line something up and not getting bummed out when it didn't work out. Although, you know, that still comes up. But That's a really good question. It and that's one that I actually get a lot, Joel. So thanks for asking it here, because I don't think I've ever asked or answered that question before. It is. It takes a lot of work. If you're going to do something like what I have been doing, be ready to spend some time on it, man, because lining up guests, even like smaller guests, is a very trying experience, because people cancel on you, or they have to push it out, or, you know, whatever. Something happens. People have lives, and they don't revolve around your podcast, which was a hard pill to swallow for me for a little while when I was first starting out. But, you know, it comes with the territory, and it's really rewarding, but it's also can be pretty crushing at the same time, having a guest-based podcast and have somebody cancel on you at last minute. But yeah, that's a really good question. Yeah, I mean, just you know, forging relationships in that medium, in the music world, and keep trying. So thanks, Joel. Thanks for sending that email. And thanks, Kyle, for helping him build the house. No, that was Joel helping Kyle build the house. Okay. This one is entitled Descendants. I'll tell you when I got this email about what I thought a little bit later. Let's see. This one comes from Caitlin in Vancouver, BC. I am hoping that you know that the Descendants are coming to Seattle soon. I do know that, Caitlin. I do know that. She says, after your show ends, I imagine. I always wanted to hear you have a conversation with Milo. Can you fulfill a listener's last wish for Air Raid? Signed, Caitlin in Vancouver. Caitlin, yeah, I've been trying to work on that. And like we just talked about with Joel, you know, sometimes things just don't work out, and sometimes people just don't answer your email at all. So, you know, if anybody has a contact over at Epitaph Records, drop me a line, will you? Yeah, yeah, we'll see if that works. But when I saw this email come in and it said Descendants across the subject line, I was like, yes, it's going to work out. Oh, it's just from a listener. No, I'm just joking. I love getting emails from you guys. I love it. I absolutely love it. Yeah, I've been working on that one, Caitlin, and it's not looking promising, but we'll let you know. We'll let you know if it works out. We will let you know. This one was a Facebook post, and I wanted to read this because it was actually from a very, very kind man by the name of TJ Troy. And if you've been listening to the show for any amount of time, you will remember this episode because it was episode 275. TJ is a Emmy-winning musician, a percussionist, and he came up to Seattle. He lives down in L.A., came up to Seattle for the Comic-Con because he's got this amazing comic book, and I'm going to urge you to go listen to the episode. And it's about comic book is called Run Downhill, and he did this, like, accompanying music for it. Wrote all this music for it. There's like animation that goes along with it, and then you can read the comic book, the paper comic book in your hands as well, and it's really great. It's a very, very crazy concept. And so TJ wrote this on a Facebook post on the Air Raid Facebook page. Why am I? Huh. I just had a burp. I apologize. He starts off, Aaron Roden. Congratulations on all the success of Air Raid and for being such a gracious host to me last September. I'll never forget our interview and meeting your wonderful family. You have done something incredible, and you should feel proud at the number of people you've been able to reach. Count me amongst your biggest fans, TJ Troy. Man, that's awesome, man. To have like a person that has been on your show and become a listener because of that, that's really cool. And an Emmy winner, nonetheless. I'm sorry, did I say Emmy? I meant Grammy. Grammy. Wow. There you go. I'm slipping, man. It's late, and I need to get this show done. Let's get into it, shall we? Thanks for the emails, everybody. And we've got a ton more. Hopefully, we'll be getting to those next week as well. And hopefully, I won't be late putting up the show so we can get to more of them. Okay? Let's go with this. First song off of the album Neptune on Sony Music Records. Go Get It by the band Tall Heights. This one's called River Wider, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears with special guest this week, Tim Harrington of the band Tall Heights. Stay with us. Where were you guys last night?
We were in Portland.
Portland?
Yep.
How'd the show go?
It was great. Oh boy. Are we interviewing now?
Yeah.
All right, great. Portland, it was awesome. It's a great town. It's kind of an interesting town. People there are usually much cooler than us.
How so? You look pretty cool, man.
Oh, well.
You got the jean shorts.
Yeah, and I'm wearing a cardigan right now, so that's like, yeah. I guess I look pretty Portland right now, but maybe that's I dressed this way just because I was ashamed by how I looked compared to the audience members last night.
Yeah. Well, maybe it'll be the same thing here. I'm hoping anyway. I hope Seattle can live up to its cool nature.
Seattle is like a down to business version of Portland, I think. It's like It's like the varsity squad.
Portland's the JV.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Tim, you're in this band Tall Heights. And this was like set up by your publicist talking with you guys like a while ago, like a few months ago. And then so I'm doing my very minimal research on you guys today, right before coming down here, which is how I work. And I saw that you guys are going on fucking Conan O'Brien.
Yes. Yeah, next, or a week from Monday.
A week from Monday.
26th.
Yeah. That's amazing, dude. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, we've been sort of hoping that something like that would happen around this release. And so like for a while my head was like focused on just getting it to happen, and which like means very little for me. Like I don't actually do anything to make it happen. We just made the damn record, but trying to make it happen with like mind bullets. And then we locked it in like 2 days ago, or yesterday. And it was yesterday that we got the news that it was happening. And then enters this whole new bear of like being, it's like, it's kind of like finding out your significant other is unexpectedly pregnant, and that like you're excited and terrified.
And terrified at the same time.
Like, yeah. And also like not fully able to grasp what this experience will be like, you know? Like, I think that's a metaphor that our drummer actually pulled out in the van, and it resonated with me.
Yeah, I bet, yeah. Man.
So I'm excited.
So what's the first thing that you did when you found out?
We had a massive group hug.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was actually an awesome moment. Our manager called us and was like, "Hey, are you with Paul?" He called my phone and he said, "Are you with Paul?" And I was like, "Well, he's doing this." And I bitched at my manager for a while about how is it okay that I said that?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
I just said the F word.
Yeah, so right. I should have.
I think we're good.
I haven't done a ton of research on this particular
on the podcast,
I didn't know what the standards would be. So I was bitching.
Touché, Tim.
Yeah, I was bitching at our manager about all the errands that we had to run because it was the first day of the tour, and mm-hmm. we flew out here, so we needed to like steal guitar amps from Guitar Center and do this and that, and he was like, "All right, well, is Paul with you?" And I said, "Well, he's outside loading the van." He was like, "Go get Paul." And then I knew it was good news, you know?
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't wait to tell me something, you know, so that Paul would hear at the same time. So I go get Paul. We throw it on speakerphone. And he was like, "Well, the trip's going to be like 2 days longer because we're hanging around for this show with Conan."
Yeah.
And we just started screaming and hugging each other. It was fun.
That's amazing, man. Yeah. That's so great. I'm really stoked for you. I've been listening to the new album Neptune, which just recently came out, right?
Yeah, it came out
just like a couple days ago, right?
No, it came out like 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
June 19th or something? July? I don't remember.
I don't either.
It's been out for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And then we sort of purposefully put it out there, let it sort of seep and steep into the fan base and whoever else might discover the music during that time.
Uh-huh.
And then hit the road so that people would actually know the new songs when we got to the venues.
Yeah.
Because we have done it where we do like a release tour during the actual release, like the release day will happen mm-hmm. during a release tour. That's a fun way of doing it, but like nobody knows the new songs, which is a super bummer because we work really hard to make that record.
Yeah,
And I just want people to know the new stuff
sure.
when I'm playing the release tour.
Well, it's absolutely fantastic,
Thank you.
It's been getting a lot of great press recently as well with the release of a couple of the singles that came out before the album dropped, apparently 3 weeks ago. Like Spirit Cold was one of the first ones that you guys released out there.
Yeah, well, Spirit Cold was on, that one was one of the like transfer tracks from
okay.
We put out an EP that was an independent release that we just put out there, and Spirit Cold was the single off that. So that kind of carried through to the album.
Yeah. So I got to tell you a little bit of a story. Like you and I were texting a little bit earlier and we were going to try to do this a little bit earlier, but I was stuck with my kids, my 5-year-old, my 2-year-old.
Cool, man.
And they're both just absolutely freaking out, right? Just, I mean.
Meltdown.
Meltdown city. My 5-year-old, like, you know, she just started kindergarten this week, right? And she fell down on the ground and got some slivers in her hand, right? And so she's just flipping out.
Yeah.
And so I played, I started playing your album, Neptune.
Yeah.
And it just totally chilled her out.
Yeah, the pacifier.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, it was great. It worked awesome. So
cool.
All the parents that are listening to this.
Yeah, well, it's sort of our target market, the two to 5-year-olds.
2 to 5-year-olds. Oh, my God.
But
you're doing great in that demo.
Unruly, unhappy 2 to 5-year-olds.
But she wanted me, I told her that I was coming to talk to you, and she said, "Tell him I really like his song."
All right, yeah, cool. So. Well, tell her I appreciate
you've got Tatum Olivia Roden's approval.
All right, that's like critical acclaim in my eyes.
That's right.
Yeah, I just remember the album came out in August.
There you go. See, that's why I thought it was so you know, yeah, that wasn't that long ago.
Not that long ago.
So take me back a little bit, Tim. Like this whole thing started as a 2-piece, right? It's you
right.
on guitar. It's Paul on cello, and it was him on cello and like a MIDI instrument, right?
Yeah.
When you guys started out, or?
Yep. Yeah. When we started, it was a duo.
Mm-hmm.
We sort of the way the bio goes is that in 2010, we started street performing as a duo. And
like busking?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. In Boston. And
that's where you're from, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So we put in a lot of hours out there.
What's that like? Walk me through that experience a little bit. Cause I have been the person, I play music. I'm not that great, but first of all, playing in front of people mm-hmm. was like something that took a lot to like get used to for me.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And then when I finally got used to that, it was okay, but it mm-hmm. still wasn't totally cool.
Right. Yeah. The goal is to like get to a place where you feel absolutely comfortable, like where you can dig into a song, and it feels when you're playing by yourself in your house or whatever, you know, like you can get to that place.
Sure.
And yeah, I think it's, for me, it's always been like, a graduation process, like, repeating. So like, when it was street performing, it took me like a full summer of street performing to get used to doing that and feel really comfortable. And then that was like my normal. And then we start playing in club shows and getting comfortable in that space to the yeah. point where I can just like deliver and I'm not talking about just like executing songs. I'm talking about like connecting with people on songs,
sure,
you know,
sure.
because like, just being able to play the song can be a heartless regurgitation of something rather than an actual like connection or communication that occurs, you know? So, yeah, it's, so every time we kind of like move to that next level, I need to kind of like get back to a place where I'm in my living room on stage and mm-hmm. that's, and even if I'm still, I will know that better than anyone, you know, like somebody might be like, oh, that was a great show. And I'll be like, it sucked, you know, like, but it will feel much better to everybody when I'm actually like in that space. And,
sure.
and I think I'm just speaking for myself here, but I think, the guys in the band would agree. Certainly. I would imagine Paul would agree with that.
Yeah.
So
was busking like a means to like get to that point?
Well,
where you're comfortable?
No.
Or was it just to play music?
It was to make money.
Yeah.
We were very excited to try to make a living in the music business.
Uh-huh.
We felt like we were writing songs that people would care about. We felt like we could do it in a way that people would want to hear it. And we really enjoyed the process of recording, writing, and performing. And so how to kind of go from working 40 hours a week at a pasta shop to being a full-time musician. Well, in those beginning days, it had a lot to do with busking and mm-hmm. also playing college shows. So those were like the two ways that we sort of cut the ties from the 9 to 5 or whatever it was, 10 to 8.
So how many years, when did you guys start playing together?
We started, well, that's kind of a complicated question because we grew up together.
Oh, you
did? We went to the same high school.
Oh, okay.
And we...
So you're old buds.
Yeah, yeah. We are.
Wow.
We're like brothers. So it's been a long time coming. It uh-huh. was a long time coming before the Tall Heights thing actually started.
Yeah.
But just for simplicity's sake, we tend to talk about 2010 as the starting point because... that's when we started street performing.
Uh-huh.
That's the summer in which we recorded our first EP. The story goes that we busked like they say 100 days to fund our first recordings, which is, you know, a really nicely packaged way of thinking about those early days. But actually we were busking like way more than 100 days and we were paying for way more than just our recordings. You know, it's like,
you still had to drink water and eat food.
Right. Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, paid the bills for electricity and stuff.
So you guys get to the point where you're ready to record an album, after busking for so long. Had you recorded yourselves before? Because it seems like I should have mentioned this before, but like you guys harmonize.
Yes.
That's the way you sing. You're both singing the songs
mm-hmm.
for the most part.
Yeah. Almost all the time.
Right. And I mean, that seems like something that is extremely difficult to get nailed down.
Yeah. Well, we sucked when we started.
Yeah.
Yeah. We thought we were good, which is, I'm glad we were disillusioned and glad we thought we were good, because that's what ultimately kept us going.
Sure.
But truth is, we weren't that good, which is why nobody was paying attention to us. But
which is why you only made 50 cents on that first day of busking, right?
Yeah, a little better than that. but yeah, no, you're right. I mean, we did the busking thing for several years, and every season that we'd come back, we would see a noteworthy jump in how much money we'd make out there. And yeah. I think that was,
that's amazing.
We were getting better.
Yeah. And so what was it like? What was it like hearing yourself recorded for the first time? Like, in, did you guys go to a professional studio, or did
our
you...
first EP we recorded ourselves,
uh-huh.
and then our first album we recorded ourselves as well.
Yeah.
So it was always a real hands-on process for us. We're definitely on the control freak side of things. I don't think we're,
yeah.
I don't think we're neurotic, but maybe some people do.
Yeah.
We learned a lot about ourselves and what we wanted to do by recording ourselves. And your question about like what was it like hearing ourselves recorded for the first time?
Mm-hmm.
I was in bands in high school and stuff, so it wasn't like I had recorded stuff before. I was like used to hearing my own voice and stuff like
sure.
that.
Sure. So. I think I worded that wrong. What I was trying to say was, what was it like? Like, was there a point at which you felt like, oh, that's it? Like that's the either the sound that we're going for, or
right.
like, oh, it's working.
Right. Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This music business is sort of like riddled with these like little victories that
mm-hmm.
keep you moving. And rarely do you have that like huge, like, oh, there it is, we did it. And definitely in those first recordings, there were moments of elation and like sort of these massive cathartic moments of realization that we just made something wonderful, you know, like where we'd be, I remember one time when we were mastering like the first record and the sound is coming through these state-of-the-art beautiful mastering speakers, and I'm thinking to myself like, this is great stuff. And then we put out the record and nobody cared. I have had that experience a number of times, and certainly I had it during the recording of this most recent record, Neptune, a few times. And the good and very, very gratifying feeling for me is that actually this album is getting some attention, which is great.
Well, so when I was listening with my daughter to Spirit Cold today, and, you know, I've heard this song over and over and over again, but when I was like looking at my daughter when she was listening to it, like it struck a chord with her.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's kind of what I felt when I first heard this song too.
That's awesome.
Like it was like one of those things where it was just like, oh shit. Like, this is a really well crafted tune.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that.
Yeah. So bravo on that.
Thanks.
But like that's what, cause I've had that feeling before when I recorded something, I was like, oh, that's it. That sounds great.
Yeah.
And I think it was the first time I had ever played with a string section.
Sure.
And it made me cry.
Right.
Right. When
mm-hmm.
I heard it recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was wondering if that was like maybe kind of the same feeling when you guys came out with that or wrote that song, recorded
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spirit Cold was definitely a benchmark for us.
Uh-huh.
It was sort of the song that led us into the new sonic reality. So like it was the bridge between folky duo Tall Heights and indie band Tall Heights.
Sure.
So it really kind of held our hand and walked us through that process with us. And so we feel a lot of gratitude that song came from us and pride, of course.
That's I would think so.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Let's take our second musical break. We'll play Spirit Cold off of the new album Neptune, which, you know, more or less came out like a couple of days ago. And we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Stay with us.
There's a question ages old. Let me down easy, let me down slow. If all good things ever come and go, let me back down in a
This record, because this record Neptune seems to flow really well off of itself. Does it make you afraid that you might not be able to do that again?
It needs to get to a little bit. It needs to be lifted onto a societal pedestal for me to like fear the sophomore slump. You know
okay.
what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think
yeah.
that we have grown in a really amazing way because of Neptune, but not so much that like I'm freaked out that we'll never capture this sort of buzz again. You know what I mean? I think like that, oh no, I'll never be able to do this again starts to set in once you're getting some serious success in like a way that we just haven't experienced yet.
Yeah.
Sure. I hope that like pit hits my stomach one day, but, right now it's just I am focused on continuing to write music, and
sure.
Paul is too, and we feel that we have a moment here where the album is moving full steam, and we are playing some really fun shows, but we when we're home we should be writing that next record, and
yeah.
And actually we've written a lot of it.
Have you?
Yeah, and I think maybe that would be our safeguard against that feeling, is like, okay, we've already written most of it, you know, so that we don't have to feel this like, oh God, this album's out. It's doing so well. There's such high expectations now. And I need to write 20 new beautiful songs that are as good as these songs, because mm-hmm. we've already written like 15 songs, and they were written in the same way in the same kind of time period as the songs that are on Neptune. And so we're just going to try to keep our heads down like we
yeah,
always have
yeah.
in that regard, and try to ignore those little voices. I mean, it's not
yeah.
always to ignore your crazies, but we'll try our best.
Yeah. yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah. Who knows?
And like,
maybe the next album's going to suck. I have no idea.
Can we talk again after that?
Yes. I would, if you'll have me.
No, not going to happen. No. So, like, do you ever get tired of playing the same songs over and over again? Or are you guys able to kind of really make make more of an eclectic set each night?
Yeah, we're trying to make sure that we have a really robust repertoire that we can draw from to keep mm-hmm. things fresh every night. And we try to reinvent old songs. Like, especially, we like to dip into the old duo catalog and kind of make it full band.
Yeah.
Rearrange things, reconsider the way it was arranged initially for the new sound. And that's been a really fun way of keeping fresh. The new songs off the album, most of them are still feeling really good and fresh. We just, over the past 3-4 weeks since we last hit the road, we made a priority to practice a lot. We bought a bunch of new equipment, and we did 5-6 hour practice days before we hit this tour, and implemented a lot of new sounds. And that to me is like the ultimate way to just stay fresh and sharp and feeling motivated. We're all so inspired by sounds and how they make a song and the structure of a actual musical composition, how they can make it feel alive and inspiring, both to the listeners and to ourselves.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
Yeah, so just we keep on buying shit
yeah
and using it on stage,
yeah,
and then use the shit we already have to sound make a different sound.
Sure
Yeah.
We're actually coming to you from the back alley of the Sunset Tavern. I actually went down to your publicist sent me the wrong venue.
Oh, no. Did you go to Tractor?
I did.
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, fortunately, you weren't too far away.
No, it wasn't too far. But I was like,
our publicist overestimated our ticket sales.
Oh, really? Oh, I mean, was this a change of venue?
Oh, no, it wasn't a change. It's just the fact that she thought we were at Tractor. Oh. She thought we were playing in a bigger room.
But, have you ever had to do that? You ever had to, like, change venue because of...
We've always been really careful about that. Yeah. Sometimes when it happens, like when it's a total dud, it's because somebody else messed up. Like we like to keep it nice and comfy for,
yeah.
We don't oversell ourselves. We never have. We've like before we had a professional team around us of like management and stuff. Uh-huh. When we were just doing all the business ourselves, like yeah. Somebody'd be like, "Well, how many people do you think you could get out to that show?" And we'd be like, "Not that many." we were never in the business of trying to like lie or bullshit our way into the next best gig. We'd rather just hang out in the smaller room until it's nice and full and then move to the bigger
room. I guess that's a thing, like people might do that, right?
Lie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear it happens.
That seems pretty ballsy.
Yeah, well,
for something like this where you're actually trying to sell tickets and fill a room.
Yeah, right. Like, I mean, and sometimes people like they're not lying, they're just stupid, you know, like honestly thought, they're like, "Oh, I got tons of friends there," you know,
and
then they, all their friends can't come because they don't care about the music, and then nobody shows up, so like I don't think I wouldn't call it a lie or something that's like diabolical in any way. It's just they're just dumb.
I would agree with that. It just seemed like that. I mean, that's it's a bad way to do business.
Right, yeah, yeah. Well, the music business is filled with bad business people.
Yeah, so, are you nervous about that at all? Like, this record is being put out by Sony, right?
Yep.
So, like, I mean, are you nervous about... Maybe this is a bad question to ask because you might not be able to answer it, but, like, being part of a big machine like that?
Yeah, I mean, nervous is not a negative thing in my mind. Like I'll be nervous before we play Conan O'Brien, but that doesn't mean I'm having a bad emotion mean that like things are bad. I think nervous is a good word. It's always scary when you lose a little bit of control over something that we have so micromanaged for such a long time.
Right.
So
yeah.
It's like, last night in Portland, Oregon, there was a Sony person there like handing out pins at the door for that had our faces on it, and I had no idea those pins had been made. And I'm just like, "Oh, well, those pins were made."
That's like, weird.
And it's cool. I mean, like, I appreciate that they are pushing it, and I definitely, over any anxiety that I have about it, I feel mostly gratitude and appreciation, because the team that we have working for us, like, they really believe in this album, and we would never select anybody as a business partner who cared any less, you know. That's always been our MO, but the fact that we were able to find somebody as powerful as the Sony team to care as much as we would have like an indie label caring, you know what I mean? They're not it's not a big ugly machine. It's a bunch of really lovely people who are working really hard and doing some amazing work on our behalf. And I've always said that we have wanted opportunities, we've wanted doors to walk through, and when you're doing it yourself, it's a huge win to get like one open door, and you of course walk right through it, but when you've got that extended team, more doors are opening, and all I have ever wanted was that. So we're just walking through as many as we can.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's great. I like that. So you're happy with where you guys are at right now?
I'm ecstatic. Yeah. This is something I've worked really hard to. And I'm not just speaking for myself. I'm a partner. You know, like Paul is is an equal sharing partner in Tall Heights. He's the co-founder. We are co-songwriters, and we've both like put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into this, and to see it sort of starting to move on its own momentum, without us just like pushing behind it, is a absolute dream come true. So we are hungry still, you know, like we don't feel like we're there, in the way that we always wanted to be there. We there's more work to be done, but, working with this Sony team has been a joy so far.
Oh, good.
And I mean, like, nervous is still a good word, because like we're in this relationship for a while and things can change, you know, but
that's just
not the way. That's not the way to.
Well, now I've heard so many. I mean, I'm doing this show for 6 years, and hearing so many stories from people coming up in the business, people that have been in the business for many, many years, people that were in the business back in the 90s and stuff like that. And like, I mean, there are stories that span the spectrum. Like, there are good stories and there are bad stories about any type of label too. And it's always interesting to me to hear that, because one of the things that was always I've put on this high pedestal was like getting signed was the thing.
Yeah, well, that's such a 90s phenomenon.
Sure.
Like, getting signed was like, that question always bugged me. Even now, like, even now that we are signed, but before we were signed, when somebody would be like, "Are you signed?" And I'd be like, "Well, what do you mean? I don't think you know what that even means." You know? Like, I think I think what you're asking is like, are you something I should take seriously, you know?
I think that's part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, at the time, before we were signed, it's like, well, so being signed, I'd explain it to the person. I'd be like, well, being signed means you're with a label, and in this day and age, that doesn't mean a whole lot, being with a label. It can mean a lot. It can be a game changer, but, like, there are tons of, like, we could start a label tomorrow and sign somebody, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, somebody can say I'm signed, but that's saying nothing, you know. It's kind of like saying I'm a model because I went and took professional pictures of myself, you know.
You could be one, by the
way. Oh, wow. I feel the same way about you.
Hey, thanks, buddy. Wow. We should go get a drink.
We should definitely get a drink.
I've never really thought about that before, but it's always been something that I've always really held in high regard.
Yeah.
Just because of like a daydream.
Sure,
you know?
Sure, yeah.
It's always like a pipe dream kind of thing.
Yeah, you know? I understand.
Yeah.
And the thing about the label sort of like folklore out there is that there are wonderful small labels and wonderful big labels, and then there are like evil small labels and evil big labels.
Well,
and I think oftentimes in like, we have friends who are getting totally screwed by a really small label right now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I have another friend who years ago got really screwed by a bad deal, and it was a small label. I think oftentimes people just associate big with bad and small with good. You know, like mom and pop equals good. Major equals sort of evil, and that certainly hasn't been our experience.
Well, that's good. That's really good to hear. Yeah. Because it does sound like you guys have put a lot of, like you said, blood, sweat, and tears into this project. And it really does show. I mean, in the latest album, I've listened to your old stuff, too, which is still very, very good. But, man, this album, Neptune, is just fantastic. So I highly recommend everybody go out and get a copy of that. Website?
Tallheights.com.
Tallheights.com. And you guys are, I take it you're on Twitter and Instagram and all the other places.
Yeah,
I know you're on Facebook too. So
yep.
We'll have links to that. What's coming up? Besides the Conan thing, what else is coming up? Where are you guys going to be?
So we're out here on the West Coast for the next 10 days.
Okay.
And that the last thing we do here is Conan. Then we go home, we have a day off, and then we go up to Vermont, and we'll be doing some East Coast stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then that'll be creeping up on October. And then we'll be doing some Midwest stuff, I think, in October. And then November we go to Europe.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Had you guys toured Europe before?
No, this is our first trip.
No? That's got to be exciting.
Yeah, the whole thing started from Spotify going really well in Germany.
Right.
And that led to us getting some festival offers over there.
Oh, nice.
And so we got two festivals in Germany. And then while we were out there, we decided to try to book a tour. And the Spotify stuff started helping us, like, able to form a team over there. So we got ourselves a booking agent who's doing a great job of routing us out there.
Yeah.
And so, I'm excited. I have only been to Italy once. And I had a I went to Scotland, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. But I haven't like been to England, anywhere in the UK or Austria.
Where I have never there. I have never been across the pond.
Cool.
And no, not cool. Well, it's not cool. I want to go.
Yeah. Well, you've got the opportunity. One day, I'm sure you'll get there.
Maybe.
Yeah, you'll do it. I believe in you.
I just had a very sad look on my face for those of you at home. Well, Tim, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you. Thank you for taking the time.
Of course.
And
thank you.
Down here in the back alley of the Sunset Tavern here in Seattle, Washington. Best of luck with everything in the future, man.
Thanks
I can't
so
wait
much.
To see you guys on Conan.
Cool, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we'll be there.
All right. Thanks. Well, there you have it, folks. Tim Harrington of the band Tall Heights. What a wonderful person, right? Yeah. Once again, Tall Heights going to be coming your way. Los Angeles, California on the 21st this week at The Resident. The 29th in Burlington, Vermont. Let's see. Oh, the 26th on Conan. Catch them on Conan, will ya? On TBS. The 30th. Of September 2016, Northampton, Massachusetts, at Iron Horse Music Hall, and on and on and on. Please go to tallheights.com, check out the tour information, get yourself a copy of the new record on Sony Records, Sony Music Group, or whatever it's called. Please do get a copy of this record, man. It is fantastic. The whole thing, all of it, it's wonderful, it's beautiful. Just the harmonies that these guys are able to sing together is amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And like I said before, like I haven't listened to this type of music. I actually got a little bit sick of this type of music. And then this Tall Heights just basically just drew me right back in, man. Drew me right back into that world and that genre. So bravo, Tim and Paul and everybody associated with that act, because they are freaking phenomenal. Okay. Got a sheet right here. You can hear it. You can subscribe to Air Raid on iTunes, and if you do, please take a moment to rate the show. We are also available on the Stitcher, TuneIn, Cairo Radio, and Spreaker apps. And now we're available on like Google Play and all that stuff too. So go and check that out. Or just visit our website at air-raid.net to subscribe directly to our RSS feed. With your third-party podcatcher, man. That's how most people do it, I think. Keep in touch by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheAirRaid Podcast or follow us on Twitter at AirRaidNet. Or you can email me like Joel did, like Caitlin did. Or you can comment on our Facebook page like TJ Troy did. That's some cool shit, man. Cool shit. Grammy winner. That's rad. That's rad. Remember to take the pledge. Tell your friends. We still want you guys to spread the word about this show. Even though we are coming to an end, we want you to spread the word. Spread the word, right? Got some great stuff coming up for you, man. I can't talk about it yet because I don't want to jinx it. We got some really, really great interviews coming up. And I hope you guys tune in for next week for an all-new episode of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Have a great week, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Spread it around. We want people to know about it still. All right? We got great archives right there. Air-Raid. I am stalling. It's Tall Heights. Have a great week. This one's called Iron in the Fire. Go get it. So
set my soul at your door tonight. And I'll ask till the gas fumes float on high. I will commit my soul to your door tonight. And I love nothing but a stone cold lie. Waiting on a kingdom call. I will commit my soul to your door tonight. And I'll ask till the gas fumes float on high. I will commit my soul to your door tonight. A stone cold light. Not the first to be lit, but I'll be the last to expire. Cause the lion of the dark is the sheep in the morning light.